Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad this time has come. It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. And even though we pre-billed that Arthur was going away on vacation, even though we talked about it, once again, Arthur's extended family bombarded me with emails and messages saying, "Is Arthur all right?" And I said, "Yes, he's more than all right." And he's back. Good morning, Arthur.
Let's put it this way. I don't have COVID.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Am I all right? Ask me next week. I'm still jet-lagged. Arrived on Friday. What am I talking about? Arrived on Wednesday and from Rome by plane. And it was really hideous. But I'm jumping the gun here. Let's start with, why did I go to begin with? I went on a 16-day transatlantic cruise on Norwegian Cruise Line, NCL for short. Deep breath. I find myself, you'll understand this, being the son of a Borscht Belt comic, that I think it was Leo Rostin who wrote the Dictionary of Yiddish, who says, you come into the world with an oy vey, and you leave with an oy gewalt.
That's right.
So I find myself saying oy gewalt multiple times a day these days. So I guess I'm getting old. But I went on the NCL transatlantic repositioning cruise because they held a lot of my money. I had booked, just to get out, in early January, a cruise, maybe we even booked it in December, a week-long cruise on Norwegian. 2 weeks before our cruise was supposed to go, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, said, do not go on a cruise. Our nephew and niece, both physicians, said, do not go on a cruise. So we decided, all right, we won't go on the cruise, and we're going to get a credit. However, 2 weeks later, the cruise line itself canceled the cruise, and those people who waited the 2 weeks got a full refund, plus a 50% credit for the next cruise. So I was resentful to begin with that I was forced now to use my credit from the first cruise before the end of the year and what was left. So our goal, Bob, and my goal was to get to Rome and visit our friends in Italy, and including and top on the list, my Iris, who has been now living in Italy for almost 20 years. I can't believe that. But worked with me and for me for 8 years, side by side. Bob and I used to say she's our wife. And we are very, very close through many life changes. And I was dying to see her. We haven't seen her in, you know, it's been over 3 years. So we took this cruise, which started out in New York. That was a good thing. All we had to do was take a cab to the pier on the Upper West Side. Not that upper even, 54th Street, I think. And the river, of course. And it would end up in Rome. Now, in between New York and Rome were 16 days that I figured it was a spa vacation, because they did have on this ship a great spa, and Bob and I took advantage of it every day, so that was very nice. And on the days when we were at ports that we didn't want to go to, which happened, we had the spa to ourselves, which was sort of nice. Whirlpool tub, this big thermal tub, steam room, sauna, a room that I only recently did a little research about, a salt room, which is a dry room, had heated benches, in this case, tiled heated benches, but it wasn't a hot room. And you did some deep breathing in there, and it clears your sinuses. With a little bit of, just a little bit of Googling, I discovered that that this is not a scientifically proven thing. However, empirically, yes, the workers in the most extensive salt mine in Europe, maybe in the world, I don't know, but certainly in Europe, where Bob and I visited years ago in Poland, he'll tell you the name of the town. You think I can remember a Polish town? Anyway, so the workers there were discovered, we're talking about at the end of the 19th century, to be healthier than mine workers in other kinds of mines. And it was determined that the salt, breathing in the salt air, did help your respiratory system. So I did this, and I must say, as somebody who wakes up congested every morning, that I have not waited this morning. You know, I'm still jet-lagged, as I say, so I was slightly congested. But so it's going to come back, I feel. Now I have to find out if I inhale salty steam, if that's going to be effective. Anyway, back to the cruise. So I called this the anti-intellectual cruise. I've been on many, many cruises because I used to be a cruise host, a cruise lecturer, a cruise cooking demonstrator. I've done all those things on many cruises. I've never been on a cruise where there were no lectures, not even on the ports that we were visiting. And some of these ports have interesting history, more than interesting history, fascinating history. And the first one we went to was, the first one we went to, I'm laughing to myself, was Bermuda. Now, you think, why are we going to Bermuda if our eventual goal is to get to the Mediterranean Sea and eventually Rome, which is not on the Mediterranean, by the way. It's an hour and a half by car from the port of Civitavecchia into Rome. Anyway, the reason is, if you look at the map, the globe, you'll see that Bermuda is more closely on the same latitude as the Azores, which was our first European landing, and then various ports in Spain. The Azores is owned by the Portuguese, and we did get off the ship for that, but it wasn't really worth doing anything there. In any case, I ate the local pineapple. You know, I'm a food, I travel on my stomach, so I had learned that the pineapple from the Azores is considered particularly good, particularly small, and sure enough, you go to any cafe and you can get a slice of pineapple. So I did, and it wasn't any better than the pineapples we get from Honduras here in New York. So it was nice. It was good pineapple, but nothing special that I could see. But that was only one slice. Maybe another slice would be better. I'm apologizing already for the pineapple and the Azores. Anyway, so Bermuda emails us on Friday before we're setting sail on Monday that we have to file all this paperwork, passport, photographs, a negative COVID test. We have to file all this before we can get on the ship. And we're thinking, well, we don't even want to get off the ship in Bermuda. We've been to Bermuda. If you play golf, it's nice. If you go to the beach, I guess you're beach deprived, it's nice. But other than that, you might as well stay on the ship. So we don't really want to do this, but we're told we cannot even get on the ship without this. So Bob, in particular, is incensed over this because it took us hours to gather it all up. It was redundant to everything the ship had asked for in proving that you were negative with COVID, et cetera, et cetera.
Soldiers
and vaccinated, et cetera. And it cost $40 each. And we get to the pier, I don't even know how it came up with the luggage handler, but Bob must have said something about how Bermuda is going to really throw everybody off here, because it was already looking chaotic even before we got onto the pier. And this baggage handler said, "Yeah, it's the Bermuda shakedown. You can't even get on the ship until you pay them the $40. But you're lucky. 2 weeks ago, it was $75 a person. So they've reduced it now. So think about how much money. I don't know how many millions of people stop in Bermuda when they're on a cruise ship, a lot, and how much they're collecting just from, as the baggage handler called it, the shakedown. So we get on the pier. It is chaos. Let me start by saying our embarkation time was between 10 and 10:30 a.m., but we get a message, an email, I don't even know anymore, an email or a message, don't arrive before 3. So we say, all right, we'll arrive at 3. So we get there at 3, and I think everybody who is going to be boarding this ship is already there, which means 1,500 people on the pier. It's not chaos, but it's bedlam anyway. So, and there are people who paid extra for quick check-in, easy boarding, or whatever they're calling it, and that wasn't being honored. And then there were these people, the upper crust people in what they call the haven on the ship. They were disgruntled because they weren't being treated special enough. Everybody was just waiting. The ship did not arrive until after we arrived. So we didn't get on the ship until about 7:30. We were supposed to get on at 10 in the morning. So right away, and they did pass sandwiches around on the pier, and I think maybe little glasses of water, but that wasn't enough to placate people, truly. But we got through that, and I have to say, this was the rockingest and creakiest ship I've ever been on. This is my third transatlantic, so I was prepared for a little bit of rockiness, but this ship creaked so much that my next-door neighbor in the next stateroom in the morning said, were there dogs barking last night? And the wife says, no, dear, it was just the ship creaking. And he said, it can't be just the ship creaking. So it was the ship creaking. And we did that for 4 days to get to the Azores. There was only pineapple there. And then we went to my favorite port, Cadiz, which is the oldest port in Western Europe. And it's a real city, you know. Cadiz is no pomp. Let me say, all these Mediterranean towns, ports, have become, Bob kept saying, another Miami Beach. It was like, you know, every condos on the beach. That's what they all have become, including Alicante, which I kept reading is a quaint place. It's anything but a very contemporary place. And I was looking for paella, and I never found it. But somebody on the ship later on told me he found it at the beach bar at the end of the pier. He didn't even have to go very far for it. And I don't know if I trust him that it was any good, but I'm sure I'll find a good paella in New York when I need it. So what else? The food on the ship, let me say, the desserts were always terrific. There were many, many places to eat on the ship, including the all-day, all-night buffet, the Garden Cafe, and the all-day, all-night Irish bar, Oceans, where you couldn't get a decent beer. So the first day I went into Oceans, and I said, oh, what beer do you have on tap? Figuring, oh, it's going to be something good, right, in an Irish bar. And they only had really the worst beer. I like Bud Light. And I said something to the waiter about how is it you could have this Irish bar without a decent beer. And he said, well, they have it. We have, what is it called, supply chain problems. I said, really? Because there's a bar on the other side of the ship here called the District, where they do have good beer. So how did they get the good beer and you didn't get the good beer? So at which point the manager came into the picture. I don't remember exactly what happened, but he was so embarrassed that this waiter was telling me the fib of they can't get a good beer in this place, he brought me a bottle of wine, which I enjoyed. It was a nice South African Shiraz. So the food was iffy. But being a good sniffer-outer on menus, we ate okay in the main dining room, which is called the Manhattan Room. And one of the draws to the Manhattan Room was that every night, or almost every night, they had a trio, a jazz trio, guitar, a piano, and drums. And they were these great musicians from Argentina, young guys. And we sort of bonded with them. I mean, I the best people to talk to on the ship were the entertainers and the staff, who were all terrific. Mostly Filipino, which I've, you know, on previous cruises, cruise ships are manned largely by Filipinos, although in this ship they had them people from all over the world. But one of the things about Filipinos is I know from my Filipino friends here in New York is that Filipinos love to sing. And the Filipinos on this ship had trouble talking. They sang everything, like, good morning, and which I didn't want to hear at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning. We were often down at 7:30. One good thing was I did get my room steward to get me a little drip coffee pot, and so I was able, when I wake up at 5, to have a cup of coffee in the room. Breakfast was... they had very nice smoked salmon, so I ate smoked salmon almost every morning with capers and onion. I did not trust their bagels. Just looking at it, I knew I wasn't going to like the bagel. But they did have nice multi-grain bread. I'm going to talk about multi-grain bread one of these days. They had nice multi-grain bread in the Garden Cafe, in the all-day, all-night buffet. But they didn't have it in the nice dining room. You could only get, like, white bread, or what I call beige bread, which is whole wheat bread, but ostensibly, but I'm not sure how much is whole. So they had to bring me, and they did, because the service here was very good. They brought me the multigrain bread from upstairs. They had to go up, I don't know, 10 floors to get the bread. Or I don't know how they did it. Maybe they stocked it for me. They did toast it every morning, which wasn't necessary, but I think it refreshed the bread that perhaps was left over from the day before. But that's okay. So that was good until one morning I decided, you know, I'm going to change out and have some scrambled eggs. I'd had scrambled eggs at the buffet once, and they were terrible. But I thought, well, in the dining room, they're going to be better. And then our maitre d', a very nice woman named Mary, said, oh, would you like those with fresh eggs? I said, as opposed to scrambled eggs with fresh eggs, yeah. Or she said, oh, well, you know, it comes in like a milk carton.
That's right.
So you mean pasteurized eggs. So that's what I was getting in the buffet. So then... And then a couple other times I wanted scrambled eggs, I had same, and with fresh eggs. But, of course, they have fresh eggs. I knew that they do poached eggs. They do fried eggs. So there are fresh eggs. So why they don't do the scrambled eggs, I'm not sure, with fresh eggs. So it was always something to eat. There are specialty. This ship had, I don't know, somebody told me 20 specialty restaurants. We got 3 visits to the specialty restaurants included with our stateroom, and we took advantage. The first one was the churrascaria. If you're on the keto diet, which I gave up on immediately, the churrascaria is a great place. It's all about meat being carried to you constantly. And then the big dessert at the churrascaria, interestingly, was pineapple. Was spit roasted pineapple, like, you know, like a doner kebab, on a vertical spit, and they would bring it around and slice off the caramelized surface and be hot and sweet. It was delicious. So that was one. Then we went to the steakhouse called Cagney's, which was hugely disappointing. I would say the meat was equivalent to supermarket, my worst supermarket meat. And as a woman at a bar, there were 20 bars on, that was it, there were 20 bars on the ship. At the main bar, in the, what's called the atrium, which is a place where the, all the action happens, whatever action there is, this woman said to me, all the meat is overcooked and all the vegetables are undercooked. So that was our experience as well. So we knew that right off. And right off, I taste steak on a ship, and if it's not any good, I don't want to eat meat on that ship. So I ate other things, and it turned out to be, we ate okay. Oh, so the Cagney's was terrible, and then we went to the seafood restaurant finally, and that was pretty good, including one thing, a memorable thing, which were three scallops, each on a slice of pork belly. It had some kind of Asian-flavored glaze on it. So it was sort of sticky sweet. But the scallops themselves were perfectly cooked, which is to say barely cooked. And the combination, bacon and scallops.
Pork belly. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, pork belly. Oh. They did, and I had another pork belly dish on board. I was surprised that they would have such a thing, but they did. Anyway, one day at the buffet, for instance, when everybody was on shore, I don't remember where, we didn't go into Cannes, we didn't go into Malaga, we didn't go into Barcelona, as much as we love Barcelona, because the day we got there, it was the Barcelona Marathon, and we'd been forewarned that there would be no public transportation, no hop-on, hop-off bus, no nothing. So I didn't want to... I was walking very well on the ship. We did long walks around the ship. They had a nice walkway. We didn't do that either. So on those days, it was totally a spa vacation. And for some reason, those are the days they had the best food at the Garden Cafe, which was the only thing open other than Oceans with the bad beer. They would have things like, they had a German afternoon, God knows why in Cannes we were eating German, but they had really good sauerbraten. I mean, I had bread dumplings, red cabbage, meatballs with caper cream sauce. It was very good. And then I discovered at the buffet that they had an Indian section, because there were Indian passengers, but the head chef is Indian. The overall chef was Indian. So I figured, well, how bad could this be? And it was better than my local takeout Indian. So that was good. Anyway, we finally get to Rome after 16 days aboard the ship. I'm going crazy already. And we finally get to Civita Vecchia, which is the port of Rome. We had a car and driver pick us up. I have to add at this point that before we left, I wanted to know, did the ship do any arrangements to get people into central Rome? And my contact, a woman named Orit Rabinowitz, whose answering machine answers in Hebrew, because she apparently does business with a lot of Israelis, of which she is one. She was rude, and she sometimes didn't answer my phone call. And in this case, she didn't give me the right answer. I asked, do they make these arrangements? And her answer after a half a day waiting for her answer was no, well, unless you're going to the airport. So in other words, we have to do all our own arrangements unless we're going to the airport eventually. Yeah, that's what it is. So we get on ship, and of course that's not true at all. I couldn't imagine there was nobody staying in Rome. Although, with this crowd, it's like, are you going to stay in Rome when you get there? No, we've been there already. So that kills me. You've been there already. And to me, Rome is endlessly fascinating, even though I'm now finding it very difficult to get around Rome for various reasons, including the fact that I have walking problems. So one of the things is I do love Rome, and I love staying where I stayed, which is in Iris's neighborhood, Monteverde, which is just beyond Trastevere, and you can take the tram literally in front of our hotel. I'll get to that in a sec. From our hotel into the center in 20 minutes at Piazza Venezia, the very center of Rome, historic Rome. And if you go the other way, two stops, you're at my favorite restaurant. So this is very, and there's a taxi stand across the street from the hotel. It's a very convenient location, Monteverde, and this is a new hotel called the Villa Zaccardi, and it has its drawbacks. It is Italy, after all, so everything looks beautiful, but doesn't necessarily work. So, for instance, I get in the shower, and I can't open the shower door after I've closed it. It's supposed to be on a slide. It ain't sliding. I'm thinking, here I am, stuck naked in the shower. And the glass goes all the way to the ceiling, so you can't even throw a towel in, and I'm stuck. Also, the button that you have to pull or push to get the water to go from the handheld to the overhead doesn't work. Beautiful, modern, everything. Everything in this hotel is absolutely modern of the minute, and fortunately they had good air conditioning because it got really hot in Rome. But Iris has a new apartment, and it's got a big terrace and kitchen open to the terrace, and a lot of space and sun and light. So she's well settled in. And after visiting with her a week, we decided Rome is too difficult to get around. We went to dinner at our friend Maureen in Franco's house. Maureen is a New Yorker who's lived in Rome for 40 years, married to Franco for, I think, 37 or 8 of those. And I said to her, I can't believe there's no traffic light at the corner where you have to cross over from the tram to the Capitoline Museum. And Maureen, who just had a hip replacement, goes off on this. She says, I hate when people tell me New York, Rome is a great place to walk around. You try it. It's not so easy. There's the cobblestone. There's no respect for pedestrians. The roads may be okay, but the sidewalks are a mess, never maintained. Blah. And she went on and on. And I had to agree. After a week, it's really tough to walk around in Rome. I have to say, it's very tough to walk around in Park Slope in Brooklyn, but at least we know why, because they're replacing infrastructure that's over 100 years old. Of course, that's not old in Rome, but here it's old. In fact, when I mentioned to Franco that our building is landmarked, he says, what year is it? Because he's been here. What year is it from? I said, 1941, and he laughed. Of course he laughed. You know, his building, I remember when his building, he's on the top three floors. You have to go up four or five flights to get to his first floor, and then there's the bedroom loft floor, and then there's the terrace floor. And I remember in the days when there was no elevator, and to his building is so old that the elevator had to be built on the outside of the building, coming up to the back of the building. Fortunately, there's an elevator there now, but, I mean, none of us could walk that anymore. Yeah. Iris moved because she had no elevator, and she was on the fifth floor, walk up, beautiful apartment with a big terrace, can't walk up five stories anymore, so she's in a building with an elevator. But she lucked out. This is a better apartment altogether.
All right. Well, we'll have to continue.
Yeah, anyway, I missed Rome. I got my taste of Rome, and I realized I could come home and eat pasta.
Right.
I don't have to stay in Rome to eat our favorite pasta.
Well, it's nice to have you back again.
Well, believe me, it's nice to have me back. I didn't even tell you about the ordeal, the ordeal.
We're going to go into that next week.
Of coming through Kennedy Airport on Delta.
Well, that has to start off next week, part two.
Yeah, well, let me just a warning to anybody who's traveling and has any kind of challenge getting around. Ask for a wheelchair, even though you don't think you're a wheelchair. I totally ruined my back coming back. Ask for a wheelchair.
Right.
It's too late once you get to the airport.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, back from vacation in Italy.